Get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral Campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, we should be thinking about these things. Yep, St. Paul was onto something with his message to the Philippians. We should be dwelling on the good news. What do you say about talking about it, too? That will surely put you in a good and godly mood, and that's exactly what we do on Call Me Catholic, this show and every show. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, a light and lively hour of conversation that is intended to celebrate, affirm, and explore our Catholic identity in these modern times so you can wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh, yeah, you can call me Catholic. Jimmy G, my engineer and chief fact checker, is with me this show and every show. Well, not every show. You weren't here 2 weeks
ago. What's the opposite of light and lively?
Dull and depressing.
Right. That's not good for radio.
No, it doesn't work. No, it doesn't work at all. I mean, there's a couple other shows that might qualify, I can think of, on other radio stations.
Names that shall remain anonymous.
But we keep it light and lively, and I'm so glad that you are with us in the studio, Jimmy G, because you've been a traveling man. You got a traveling shirt on today.
Yeah. A good friend of mine gave me this. It's like the most colorful shirt I have. It's a Hawaiian shirt.
Well, and he's a man who passed away, and so his wife gave you a couple of his shirts, which I think is a dear and very tender gesture to perpetuate his stylish legacy.
I agree.
But it does put me in a travel state of mind because it's a very Hawaiian shirt, and it reminds me that it's good to get away, hit the road, hit the tarmac, hit the high seas, however you choose to travel. It's very rewarding to pack up and visit other places. But we never leave our faith at home. In fact, our faith is really kind of our passport to discovery and enrichment. It really makes the journey much more enduring. That's what we're going to talk about today, travel. But first, I want to tell you that Jimmy G and I are coming to you from high atop the Tower of Hope on the beautiful Christ Cathedral campus in Orange County. This is the Diocese of Orange in Southern California, another great tourist destination.
Orange County.
Orange. And you can get a little glimpse of our studio high atop the Tower of Hope by checking out our Facebook page right now. If you go to facebook.com/callmecatholic, Marvelous Matt, our call screener, has put up a live link to a live stream of the show, and you can watch us doing our thing here in the studio.
I think there might be a snafu with that camera right now, but we're working
on it. Oh, there is?
We're working on it.
Oh, okay. Well, snafu. Those snafus
I just like saying snafu.
Those snafus keep it light and lively,
yeah,
wouldn't
exactly.
you say? Okay, but here we are in August already, and summer is just smoking by. But a lot of people are still traveling, and there are plenty of pilgrims out there sojourning their way to destinations around the globe. We're going to talk specifically, I said we're going to talk about travel, we're going to talk about being a pilgrim today. We have in our studio several guests who are going to share their pilgrim testimonies with us, some conventional and some unconventional journeys, but they have in common this mindset of a pilgrim, not a tourist. Veronica Paini is a passionate world traveler. She blogs about her travels, and she brags about her faith when she travels. She calls herself the Modern Pilgrim. That's the name of her website. And for a young woman, she has seen a lot of the planet. She most recently returned from Cuba, and she's got a lot to share with us about that destination. And then we are going to welcome David Owens. David chairs his parish's annual Camino procession. They call it Along the Way. It's a 7-mile pilgrim walk that simulates the original Camino Trail to Santiago de Compostela, Spain. And their parish happens to be named Santiago de Compostela. It's here in the Diocese of Orange, and they've been doing this to a great response for 3 years now. It's a very cool story, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about it. I love parishes that do creative, innovative ministries to get their parishioners super engaged,
Amen.
Especially when it has to do with their patron saint.
Yeah.
So those interviews are coming up. We got a lot coming up, but none of it can start until we do our Call Me Catholic countdown, which this week is the top 5 essential dispositions to being an authentic pilgrim. Now, all right.
Oh, the call
cut me there, man.
Sorry about that. You paused for effect, and
I took a breath. No, thank you. Thank you for that dynamic introduction.
I can play it again.
No, that just signals the beginning of the Call Me Catholic countdown discussion, and I just want to sort of reiterate the fact that a pilgrim is not a tourist. A pilgrim is really not even a traveler. A pilgrim has a different mindset. And we associate it with going to destinations, holy destinations and shrines. But I think we can adopt the mindset of a pilgrim in our everyday life because we are all sojourners here on earth. We're just passing through.
Absolutely.
And to make the and reach our heavenly goal more prepared, we should take on the mindset of a pilgrim. So my number five quality of a pilgrim would be flexibility. You got to be flexible. And, you know, normal tourists, we can't always be that flexible. When you have to get to a destination, I remember going to our middle son's graduation at University of Notre Dame. All of our flights got postponed and canceled, and we were in a horrible panicked state of mind because we couldn't afford to be flexible. But when you're a pilgrim, you can be flexible. You have to say, oh, my flight got canceled. There might be something more interesting in this new time itinerary that I've had to adopt. Maybe in this next flight, I'm going to be sitting next to someone who will make an impact on my life. So
I love people like that.
I know.
Yeah.
Just go
with
it. Be flexible. Yeah, be flexible. We can all afford to be a little more flexible. And I think it makes the travel more interesting if you sort of say, oh, that restaurant's closed. Let's try another restaurant. Okay. Number four, you have to be economical. Not only do you, should you be, but I mean, it's kind of imperative to being a pilgrim. You have to travel light because things burden us. Ask anybody who's done the Camino, and it's very metaphorical, the fact that if you carry too much stuff with you, you get exhausted and you can't go as far as if you keep your baggage light and you travel more speedily.
You're thinking, why did I bring that extra pair of shoes? Why?
Hey, listen, I hiked the Grand Canyon, as you may recall, last year. My husband and I, with our dear friends Nancy and Fred, hiked down and up in 2 days, and I was very grateful that my husband ditched, you know, about three or four pieces of clothing that I thought were going to be essential to my trip.
Wow.
For looking snappy at night when I couldn't have cared less when I finally reached the dinner table that night. Okay, and Jesus tells us, he told his disciples, don't travel with anything except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money belt, no extra tunic. I think he let them have sandals, but that was it. Okay, number three is you got to have a sense of humor. You know, the best Christians have a sense of humor. They see the joy in life. They see an opportunity to laugh, to smile. I mean, when you see the humor in life, you're really seeing God's at play in this.
Those are the kind of people who listen to this show.
You got to have a sense of humor to listen to Call Me Catholic, I'll tell you that much. Not necessarily a good sense of humor, a sophisticated sense of humor. But I mean, I think a sense of humor is essential to a good Christian life anyway. You have to see the joy in life. You have to see the humor in situations that might otherwise bug you. And people, too. Okay, number two, you have to be prayerful as a pilgrim. I think, you know, when you are on an organized pilgrimage, there is usually a priest with you and he says Mass daily. So you have that built into your itinerary. Mm-hmm. But if you're an independent pilgrim, you have to build prayer into your routine. And everything you do has to be something of a prayer. You know, if this is God's will, show me the way, Lord. Show me your light. How can I do this better? I am sorry for my sins. Everything is a prayer. Mm. And I think that's another beautiful example of how we can live our life as pilgrims.
Amen.
In our everyday one. Okay, and number one would be, you got to be open. Be open to people that you meet. Be open to experiencing new destinations, places, restaurants, situations that you would otherwise be uncomfortable in. Be open to it. Trust that God has an inspiration there for you or a lesson to learn. I think being open is another really great disposition, and I don't think you can be a pilgrim very effectively without being open. Have you ever been on an official pilgrimage, Jimmy G?
Not officially.
Yeah.
I have done some traveling overseas for different ministries, but not exactly pilgrimages.
Yeah. So. Well, pilgrimages are really interesting, but I do think, I mean, and they have a certain agenda, but I think we can adopt that agenda into our daily life. And if, are you feeling like a pilgrim yet? So if you're not feeling like a pilgrim, Jimmy G has a little soundbite for you that might put you in a pilgrim. Oops.
I got to find it.
Okay. You know, we're trying to get you to think like a pilgrim, to feel like a pilgrim.
Here's a
couple. So there's a guy that really knew how to address people as pilgrims.
Here's a couple for you.
Think you can make it, pilgrim? Don't fret about that, pilgrim. You're a persistent cuss, pilgrim. Well, take some advice, pilgrim.
Okay. Hey,
all right, so here's a little trivia. Do you know what movie those are all from? I gave you those sound bites, but
I do not know, but I saw one of the clips where he's in there with Jimmy Stewart. That was amazing.
Yeah, the man who shot Liberty Valance,
wow,
that 1962, and they all, that's where he became famous for calling Jimmy Stewart's character, Ransom Stoddard was the character's name, a pilgrim, and he called him a pilgrim because he had come out from the East Coast. He had been a pilgrim from the East to the West, and he was kind of a naive guy in terms of the ways of the West.
Two absolute film legends on the screen.
It's a great
Wayne
movie.
Stewart,
the Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, that's where Pilgrim became such an iconic phrase of John Wayne's. We've got a few pilgrims in the studio with us today to talk about their journeys, virtual and actual. Veronica Paini calls herself the modern pilgrim in the blog where she journals about her trips around the world. She's up next to talk about her latest pilgrimage, kind of, to Cuba. Hey, don't forget to check out our Call Me Catholic Facebook page. And otherwise, just sit tight. We'll be right back with more great conversation about embracing your inner pilgrim. I am Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Helping you navigate the daily struggles and blessings of life. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Well, hello, pilgrims. Welcome back to Call Me Catholic. I am your host, Peggy Normandin. You know, Holy Scripture is full of stories of travel, journeys, from the epic accounts of Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt in Exodus to Mary and Joseph's trip to Jerusalem for the Passover festival, where they lost the adolescent Jesus in the temple. We all remember, every mother remembers that story. And when you think about it, so much of the Bible is about a journey, and every journey has its lessons and its revelations. And in fact, Jesus tells his disciples to go out into the world and preach the gospel. So Christians are encouraged to travel if you can. And we have with us today a young woman who takes that scriptural directive very literally. Veronica Paini is young, but she has journeyed to over a dozen countries. She speaks four languages, and she writes about it in her travel blog, The Modern Pilgrim. Veronica Paini, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Well, thank you for having me. It's truly a pleasure to be here.
Oh, I can't wait to hear all your stories. Now, I also want to invite our listeners, if you have a travel story or if you have a question for some of our seasoned guests here who are quite worldly, give us a call and join in the conversation. The number is 714-282-6034. Marvelous Matt, our call screener, will greet you and put you into the studio. 714-282-6034. So, Veronica, you have an international background. Your mother is Polish. Your father is Italian.
Correct.
So you traveled as a young person, visiting your parents' homelands and all around the world. But when did you get the real, that real itch, irreversible travel bug?
Yes. Well, it all happened after I graduated from the University of California in Irvine. I wanted to do something big. I was like, I want to conquer something, and I know my parents talked about it, was the Camino del Santiago, and I was like, I love Spain, let me do it. And I thought after that journey I would pack my backpack away, I'd be done with it forever. But because of that journey, spiritually and for myself, I just wanted to keep going. I was like, there's so much I want to see. And because of that walk, which was not a walk in the park, it was definitely difficult.
Well,
it was hard.
Which route did you take?
I took the original route. So I started at Saint-Jean-Pierre-de-Port in France and walked all the
through
way.
Through the Pyrenees.
Yes, through the Pyrenees, which was the hardest day, and I didn't know anything, and I had the most randomest things in my backpack that I just started to, like, left and right taking it out.
Awesome.
Like, oh, I just kept tossing on the next day. And then I went to Santiago de Compostela, and I just remember falling on my knees and just, like, looking up to the sky, and I just started crying. And I had this whole joy of being like, I'm done, but I don't want to be done.
Yeah.
So I continued on, actually, to Finisterre,
which is the
beach area. So I was like, why not do another extra 3 days? That's not a problem.
Well, how long did it take you altogether?
Total 33 days.
Ah. Mm-hmm. And if you, what was the biggest, maybe, revelation or misconception you had starting the journey and what you were going to experience, and then midway through and even to the final, where you thought, I had no idea?
Yes. So I thought, I went in thinking that after this, I'll know what I want. I will have time to pray. I was away from technology. It was just me and my pack and meeting other people. And then as I go and met other pilgrims coming from different parts of life, I met doctors, I met people who, you know, are struggling in life or had problems. They all were here on a different, separate journey. And hearing their story changed my whole entire vision of what I want. I was like, wow, there's so much out there. And then by the end, I knew that this was not the end, it was the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what changed, because I was going into that thinking, like, I'm going to be done after this.
Crossing
I'm going to go
off
home.
My list.
Yes, I'm going to bucket list, check it off. But it just fueled the travel bug, so to speak. And that's actually where the modern pilgrim, the name was coined, was because of that. I was like, well, I'm a 21st century girl from Orange County. You know, I'm part of the world in the modern world, but I still believe myself as a pilgrim. And I'm Catholic and I'm a proud Catholic, but how can I make that an aim of mine? And that's actually where it all started.
You document it with pictures.
Yes, pictures, videos.
And it really helps that you speak four languages.
Yes,
because
definitely.
Especially on the Camino, mm-hmm. you encounter lots of people that don't speak English.
That's true. And you'd be surprised how many people do not speak English. Being America, an American-speaking country, you know, obviously we speak English. And most people speak the second language of English, but no, it's not like that. So the French really helped. The Italian, I don't speak Spanish, but I can understand it because of the Italian. So I was able to converse with my hands and throwing a few Italian sayings here and there.
If nothing else, they must have just enjoyed watching you talk. Don't you think, Jimmy G? She's so fun and animated.
It's the hands, the Italian.
Well, you know, our son did the Camino last year, and he kind of did it on a whim, and he went by himself.
Wow.
And when he was telling us, I think we had a conversation or something, and he said, well, the first day it was kind of scary because I wasn't sure where it started. He took the bus to a destination and he said, this father and son or father and daughter kind of embraced me and we shared food and we went along the way and they helped me get to my next destination and they didn't speak a word of English.
Oh, how fabulous. Oh, that's amazing.
And he doesn't speak anything but English, but he did say that we get used to everybody just being able to speak English and it makes a difference.
Those are crazy skills though, knowing four different languages.
I know it. Yeah. We're speaking, in case now you're intrigued, right? This is Veronica Paini of the Modern Pilgrim. So the Camino kind of bit you, gave you the travel bug.
Yes.
And when you came home, did you feel yourself kind of going through your day like a pilgrim, like looking at life a little differently?
I tried. That was, I came back with this mentality of less is more and being thankful for what I have. Because I realized I've always wanted this or wanted that. And I'm like, I have everything. And I'm just so thankful. And actually, it's funny. I tell my mom this. I'm like, you should let me travel more. Because every time I travel, I become more spiritual.
Yeah.
Because when I'm here, I just go on to my daily life routine of going, working out, doing this, doing that, hanging out with friends. But when I'm out there, it's just me and like myself. And so I end up praying more because I have more free time. I think more.
You trust more. You have to trust
exactly
more that God
trust.
Is leading you.
And that's it. It's a lot of half the time where I don't know what I'm doing because I'm usually by myself. I find the nearest church, sit in there for a couple minutes. And
well, I know you say that you like to travel alone, but even Jesus said he sent his disciples
that's
out
true.
Two by two, Veronica.
Uh-huh.
So are you ever a little intimidated being a solo traveler?
Sometimes, but it just so happens that there are so many other people like me who you just join on and you click mm-hmm. and you have that same mentality. So everything that you do, you're doing with someone else in the end. So I'm alone. I'm a solo traveler, but in times each day it can be a different person. And I go on and, for example, when I was in Cuba, I met up with this Dutch girl. She was also traveling by herself. And for 3 days, we were traveling together. And then she went off on her own and then I went off on my own. So
Cuba is your most recent trip that you took.
Yes.
What was that like? And how did you facilitate this? Because the restrictions have come back in terms of our travel.
Because of what was going on, and I knew it was a destination I've always wanted to see, just because I've heard so much about it. I read a lot about it. Being an international studies major, we do a lot of research and studies on different countries. And I was just fascinated by Cuba, and I knew I needed to go before the restrictions were put into place.
Mm-hmm.
So me and what I do half the time of my day is I have all these travel apps, and I have I'm on the website, and I'm always searching for best deals because I fund everything myself, too, from start to finish. I save up all my money, and sometimes I, decide not to go have breakfast with my friends or not to go out because I know that extra $7 will help
put you closer to your next destination. Right.
Exactly.
Sure.
So I just, on a whim, decided to go, and it's usually what I do, and I just book my flight.
And so where did you stay? Because I know we can't, there's restrictions on the hotels and things like that.
It is insane restrictions, and I, of course, went as a backpacker. I went as a solo female traveler. I didn't go there just for the luxury part of it. So their hostels are only in Havana. Havana and Santiago, they have also Santiago de Cuba down south, which every time I hear Santiago, I just get excited. So
it's home to you, right?
It truly is. It's a spiritual home. So I stayed in a hostel. I had only my first 2 nights booked in Havana in a hostel.
Oh, and then you were going to wing it.
And then I was going to wing it. And I did. And then other ways of staying there is casa particulares, where you are literally staying with a Cuban family that rents out their bed. And you are literally part of their daily life.
And did you do that?
And I did that constantly. So that was an incredible experience. And that was honestly the only affordable way of traveling, because hotels were mostly governed by the government. And going to some very fancy restaurants, the government had a lot of control. So you had to be very careful of where you went and where your money was going, because I wanted to go to actually support the Cuban people. So I wanted to stay with the Cubans. I wanted to eat where the Cubans eat. I didn't want to go where the travel guide told me to go.
Where you were being directed, you know, being detoured over to that. Turista. Well, you actually wrote a little blog entry that said, "Dear Cuba, I love you, but I won't be coming back soon."
Yes. Unfortunately, being an outsider there and knowing that I was an outsider, you were constantly getting your prices rigged left and right. It said, and oh, they have two currencies there. They have a pesos and a convertible pesos. So it's a national convertible pesos. So $1 equals one cuc. That's their convertible pesos. But one cuc equals 24 national pesos.
Well, that you got your calculator out for that one. I'd go with the Bitcoin.
It was really difficult, because I would go there and I always do my research. Like, I know I want to go where the locals eat. I know that I shouldn't be paying more than.
And you got to get a Cubano.
So I knew exactly what they were doing, but because of the color of my skin and my origins, they right away were like $5 when I knew I should have been paying like less than 50 cents for something in that sense. So it was constantly like you would expect that a handshake would mean a handshake in the rest of the world. Like, you were going to pick me up at this time and it was going to be $20, and the next day I go there ready to be picked up and you charge me $35 or I can't get on the car. It was a lot of unfortunate situation like that, but I understood where they were coming from, sort of.
Well, they don't know how long this tourist door
exactly
is going to be open.
That's true.
You know, I think you have to remain flexible as a pilgrim.
And that was
when you talked
about flexibility. I could not agree more, because.
But money is money. And, when you're running out.
And you're on a budget. And honestly, American credit cards don't work there. And there's a 10% service fee for changing U.S. dollars into Cubanos. And you can only change the pesos in their country. So you can't take out the money here in America. So I had to change. I had a certain amount of money that lasted me 2 weeks and a half that I knew that's all I had.
So you felt a little restricted.
Definitely.
Now Cuba, even though it is a communist country, is remarkably Catholic, for the communist regime that it exists under. Did you see that big 65-foot statue of Jesus that goes, it's La Cristo Havana, right?
Yes. Surprisingly, there were a lot of photos of like Viva el Papa when Pope Francis was there, John Paul II was there.
All of our three recent popes have visited there.
There's definitely that. It was amazing to be in such a communist oppressed country, but then at the same time, you know, they had these beautiful churches. Just a few, though. Some were converted into museums, but there were ones that I just sat there and it was just so nice. And I was able to speak to, I believe it was the pastor, asking what time the masses were, and they had the masses. And so that was always, it's always so refreshing going in a different country, being completely out of the blue, such an outsider, but still feeling some sort of connection because of a faith.
The universal church.
Exactly.
It really is. It's like music. It has a language,
yes,
even though the words sound differently. It's got this beautiful unifying language that's very soothing.
Yeah. So that it definitely calmed me down. Every time I find I'm in a moment of just, that I'm not flexible, I go into a church and I'm like, I know this is a home for me anywhere in the world. So that's why I love traveling.
And what's your next destination that you're saving up for?
That's a good question. I would love to go to Colombia. I've heard beautiful things about the nature there.
Yes.
And since I'm I love nature. I love the outdoors. I want to explore that. And, so
and
we'll
what, what are some of the other countries you have been to between, or destinations you've been to between the Camino and Cuba?
Oh, well, I've actually spent 2 months in Israel.
Oh.
I was in Jerusalem. That's right. Our very own Holy Land. And that, for me, was a solidification of my faith. So
wow.
It was amazing.
Well, I know we're going to hear great things from you. You need to get a column in Travel and Leisure or something, the Catholic Farm and Pilgrim. We love it. Hey, if you would like to jump into our conversation, we would welcome your input, your comments or questions. The number is 714-282-6034. That is 714-282-6034. Veronica Paini is going to stay with us as we introduce you to our next guest right after the break. David Owens from the Parish of Santiago de Compostela here in the Diocese of Orange is the chairman of his parish's annual Along the Way Pilgrim Walk, simulating the famous Way of St. James that has led millions of pilgrims to the Grand Cathedral at Santiago de Compostela that Veronica described so colorfully and so beautifully. If you'd like to join that conversation about the pilgrim life, give us a call, 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. Marvelous Matt will put you right through. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Exploring the perils and blessings of embracing a Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Hello there. I am your host, Peggy Normandin, and I'm so glad you're joining us on Call Me Catholic, and I hope you brought your passport because we're going places on the show today. We have been talking with Veronica Paini, a very seasoned young traveler who calls herself the modern pilgrim in her travel blog, and she's staying with us to further enrich our next conversation with David Owens. David is a member of Santiago de Compostela Catholic Church in the Diocese of Orange, and he's also the chair of his parish's annual pilgrim walk called Along the Way. This is a 4 or 7 mile walk that simulates the historic Way of St. James pilgrimage trail that leads to the great cathedral of Santiago de Compostela in Spain, believed to be the burial place of St. James. It's called the Way or the Camino, and depending on the route you choose, you can be on the trail for weeks and weeks. But David Owens has made this route much more accessible to his fellow parishioners whose church shares the name of Santiago de Compostela. David Owens, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Well, thank you very much. Delighted to be here.
It's a great
honor.
Well, Veronica gave you a great intro to talking about the Camino. So, David Owens, the actual Camino de Santiago, the route stretches like hundreds of miles, and it can originate in Spain or France or Portugal, I think even Switzerland. How do you recreate this Camino experience for your parishioners?
Well, what we decided to do from the very beginning, and we've been doing this for now for 3 years, and it started very small. Grew after 1 year to the second year and finally to the third year. We wanted to be sure that the experience was faith-based, that it was a meditative, reflective experience. So what we do is we have stations along the way. And at each station, we congregate and we walk in groups of 25.
And how many parishioners participate?
This year we had over 700 registered, and nearly 600 actually did walk.
Wow. Well, that's a tour de force.
It is. Just ask the city of Lake Forest and the county parks. They will also agree.
Cities love seeing people out, don't you think, Veronica? They love to see big groups of people out walking and whatever their
Definitely,
purpose is.
Yeah.
They usually have a purpose. When you see a group of people walking, you know there's something.
And we are continually complimented by either non-participants along the trails. They'll stop and they'll ask, what is this? What are you doing? And we explain that we are honoring our patron saint, Santiago. And we are recreating the experience of Santiago de Compostela, the Camino walk. And they're delighted.
And you're easy to identify. You almost look like crossing guards because you brought Veronica and me and Jimmy G.
Beautiful shirt.
A beautiful shirt. Look at the illustration on the back. Is that the cathedral, Veronica?
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful illustration. So you've got bright yellow shirts on.
Absolutely.
And what time do you start? Do you start in the morning?
We start around 5 in the morning.
Wow. Okay,
and
good.
What we do is everyone comes to the Santiago campus.
Okay.
And then we have buses, and we bus to either of the two starting points.
Okay.
The one starting point, if you're walking 7 miles, is the St. Michael's Abbey.
Okay. In the Silverado Canyon.
Yeah, right.
Beautiful.
So we start there. Or we start at the Lake Forest Sports Park, and then both routes join on the Aliso Creek Trail.
Oh, nice.
And we have an agreement with the city, with the county. We don't want to impinge on the bikes on the trail, so we'll walk.
Now, don't get in the way of those bikers on a Saturday.
They'll
mow you down.
But the people are just, they're wonderful. Yeah. When they see it, and we have our stations, we have pop-up tents, and you stop and you have a passport, and we have
the stamped passport.
And it all starts at the station one, where you select your stone, and you carry your stone. The meaning of the Camino is what is so important. And it's
and what
is every
the
journey.
Stone represent?
Well, every journey is a personal journey. So we offer a stone and we ask people to place in the stone all their fears, all their aspirations, all their hopes, and to just trust and place them in their stone. And this year we had a black stone. And we asked them to write with a black pen either their name or their intention, and the black ink disappears into the stone.
Oh.
So symbolically, it's like it has entered into the stone, and they carry the stone along the way. And once we return to the campus, they deposit the stones in a basket. We offer them at Mass. The church is full. We have tents outside for overflow. And
so it's like almost like a church feast day for your
parish. Oh, it is. Yeah. It is. It's an entire celebration. We have, for those who finish the Camino early along on our plaza area, we have tents erected, and we have entertainment. We have the Brennan family singers, and we have others who are there. We have dance groups just to occupy the time while we're waiting for Mass to begin at 11:30. And as soon as Mass is completed, then we feed everyone.
Mm-hmm.
We have cooked smoked the pulled pork all night long.
Oh my goodness!
Oh wow! That's
yes.
A feast.
Oh, it
They're
is.
Serious.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. Sign me up. I'm ready.
It sounds like I'm taking credit for this. I am not. Our pastor, Father Thomas Naval, when he came some 3 years ago, I was the head of the pastoral council. We talked, why aren't we doing a Camino? And I said, all right, being the planner that I am, my Marine Corps background, I write a 5-paragraph order, and next
you knew
thing
how
you
to
know,
get everybody
right,
in shape and in
exactly.
line in order.
And we started our first Camino. It's interesting that being a parish established in 1979, that we never started earlier. There is a Galician society in...
And Galicia is the area where Santiago de Compostela is.
Exactly. Yes. Well, there is a group in, I believe it's either Westminster, and they would come for years to our parish on the Feast of St. James, and we would have a celebration. They were the ones who were the instigators and the promoters of it. And for, I don't know why, we never embraced the movement at that time. They gave us a donation of a fountain made of Galician marble.
Oh, wow.
And it's a beautiful structure. It's a water fountain with the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And we are so proud of that, of their gift to us.
Now, did you have, how did you establish that relationship with them?
We are, to my knowledge, the only Catholic parish in the world outside of Santiago de Compostela in Spain to have the shared name and shared heritage.
Do they know about you there in Santiago de Compostela?
They do now.
Okay,
because
good.
We have established a pilgrim office within the parish.
Oh, that's nice.
We
You're taking this very seriously.
We are trying. We are trying. And the calls that we get, the interest that we receive, we have our website, Camino.pilgrimoffice.com. at Gmail. Mm-hmm. That's our email, and we have our own phone number.
Well, you know, so we're talking with David Owens. He is a parishioner at Santiago de Compostela Church here in the Diocese of Orange, and for the last 3 years, they have created this simulation of the Camino Walk, the famous historic pilgrimage walk in Spain that leads to the Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela. Why has this become such a phenomenally popular new travel destination, or people know about it so well? What do you attribute it to, Veronica? The Way is so well known now.
It is now. Well, I know there was a movie, and that mm-hmm. helped
way,
a little
right.
bit shed some light to the Camino del Santiago. But just being, I think it's really comes down to the simplicity, the core of being a pilgrim. It's embracing this whole new being of just going and walking through Spain while having a destination, while being able to just be you and your spirituality, you with God, and you pray and you sing. And it's such a journey where you connect with people from around the world. Mm-hmm. It's a place where you're all from different destinations, but different backgrounds, but the destination is the same.
Well, and so I also think so even in recreating it in a parish situation, you're all on common ground. Nobody says, oh, I come with this pedigree, or I have this much income, or I have this many children, or I live in this beautiful house. No, you're all walking, you're all equal. And it's like you're equal in God's eyes.
Right? So yes. True, so true. We had as our honored guest for our Camino this year, Phil Volker. And Phil is the subject of a documentary movie produced and directed by Annie O'Neill. Phil lives in Washington State on Vashon Island. Phil has stage 4 cancer and has had cancer, stage 4 cancer, for probably, I believe, somewhere around 6 years. He wanted to walk the Camino, and his doctors kept saying no, he could not. He recreated, he has a 10-acre parcel of land on the top of the island. He recreated a path around the perimeter of his 10 acres, mm-hmm. and he walked the equivalent of the full Camino
wow.
on his own property.
Wow. How long did it take him?
It took him months.
Wow,
but he did it. And Annie O'Neill heard about this individual who uh-huh. did this and was so dedicated. And he wanted to go to Spain. And he got permission to skip one chemo treatment. So he goes every 2 weeks. So he had 28 days from the day he left to the day he had to return. So he would not miss and lose the efficacy of all of
the
series of treatments.
Nasty treatments.
I know. And he went, and Annie O'Neill took her film crew, and she was with him every step of the way. And the name of the documentary is Phil's Camino. And it's an under Oscar consideration.
Wow. So it's recent.
It's recent, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
It was too short to receive a nomination last year. So what Annie has done is gone back to the cutting room floor. And it's now legal length.
Where she qualified it.
Where
yeah.
she can qualify it.
Clever
it will
girl.
Be re-released. Again this year.
Oh, wow.
And so
that's fascinating. I have not heard about that. I know my husband was watching a Camino documentary from Netflix about a group of men, young men from Fort Worth, from a parish in Fort Worth, and it was fascinating. We have a caller with us that has a question for our guests, our esteemed seasoned travelers. We have Naria Nona from Costa Mesa, who is listening to Call Me Catholic online radio. Hey, Naria, can you pronounce your name for me?
Hello.
Oh, hello. Can you pronounce your name for me?
Mariola is my name, and I have a question for Veronica.
Oh, sure.
How many kilometers she walk per day, and how she planned to make it on a feast of St. James? If she, you know, arrived on the 25th of July, how this happened?
Oh,
fabulous question. Well, kilometers. So I like to change it in a way that most Americans will understand miles. I say I walked a half a marathon a day. So
ooh,
that's 13.5 miles, which is equivalent to about 25 kilometers, give or take, and every day it would change depending on the next city you had to go to.
And maybe the kind of conversation you're in, because, you know, good conversation can slow you down a little bit.
There's been days where I met someone, and then I haven't seen them for 3 days, and we're like, where's our friend Paolo? And then we see him that he one day just walked for over, I think he walked 25 miles nonstop that he went to the next city and was ahead of us.
He was trying to get rid of you guys. He was ditching. We call that ditching you.
So what happens is you meet up with people and you stay with them and then you talk. You have the conversation. Well, what are your plans? How far do you want to go? What city are you thinking to go in? So it's really, as much as it is an individual journey, you are with other people and you keep moving forward.
Are you considering making the Camino yourself, Mariola from Costa Mesa?
Yes. Absolutely. Probably on a donkey.
Okay. Well, we've got a great expert here. So on the donkey, you said?
Donkey.
On a donkey.
That's like the Grand Canyon. I would never get on a donkey in the Grand Canyon. Let me tell you, I would hike that barefoot before I got a donkey. But anyway, good luck to you, Mariola, and send us a postcard from the donkey back.
Thank you.
God bless you. I hope you make it sometime. You know, I noticed in looking at the little film that's on your church website, David Owens, that they were showing some of the pilgrims walking the 7 mile or the 4 mile simulation. Some of them looked like they had physical handicaps.
Yes, absolutely. One particular parishioner, David Balin, he's an amazing young man, and he has walked the 4 mile course. But,
sure. And 4 miles is a healthy stretch of the legs.
And you may have seen him walking with canes, and he made it.
Yeah.
This year, having done it once, he decided that it might be better if he was at one of the stations supporting those walking. So he is part of our support team.
So he's still a part of things.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, talking about travel reminds me of the slideshows that my parents and their friends used to host when they'd come back from a trip. I kind of miss those evenings when you'd sit on the couch, the lights would dim, and then somebody would narrate their trip through slides projected onto a big screen. And you could snooze a little bit if you wanted to. Now we look at people's pictures all on their phones, which I don't think is nearly as satisfying. So slideshows are kind of an American classic. And old school is best sometimes. And I feel that way when I listen to the classic Mother Angelica excerpts. She is kind of old school in the very best possible way. Those words of Mother Angelica that we hear during the break sometimes, they always just touch my heart. They're so charming, so right to the point, right to the heart of the matter. And I miss her. And if you're like me and you hunger for more of the classic Mother Angelica, you can access lots and lots of her talks and shows through EWTN Classics. Now, Jimmy G likes to look at me when I do these live promos. Like, how are you going to work that around?
Mother Angelica would have loved to have met you and heard your show, Peggy.
I think she would have. I talk to her all the time still. She and I have lots of fun conversations. But EWTN Radio Classics is a 24/7 resource that offers all the great classic teaching and devotion from the EWTN archives, including so much of Mother Angelica, all of which is just absolutely so rich. But there's also Father Benedict Rochelle, there's some Patrick Madrid, and a lot of your classic favorites. They're all available online at EWTNradio.net and on the EWTN app. So check those out, the classics. Only the really, really good stuff. Very nourishing for the soul. Do you remember, David Owens, do you remember slideshows?
I do.
As a kid? Do you remember going to people's houses?
I think I still have some boxes of slides somewhere.
I miss that. I think we need to resurrect that. Now, you probably don't know what I'm talking about, Veronica.
It's when you, do you put it
on? She's going back, she's thinking Stone Age, is there electricity yet?
Yes, I know.
I remember albums where I used to print out the picture and you had it in the film and you would go through it. Nowadays, with the new technology, a lot of it gets lost in your phone or you just...
It's too much.
I mean, you don't organize it as well as you should.
Because it's so easy. I mean, even when we used to have camera film and we'd run out of film, we'd have to put another roll of film in. But slideshows, you know, people went on a trip, you'd go to their home, the lights would dim, and they'd start showing the slides. And they'd say, here I am here, here I am here. And if you were lucky, then it would be a good slideshow. If it was a nature slideshow, it was like, oh man, more flowers from Hawaii. But I loved it because you really stepped into the experience a little bit more. Yes. And when somebody just hands me their phone and kind of, it was slide it this way. Oh, no, don't slide anymore. Can't see
you might go somewhere.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
You shouldn't.
I miss that. And that was a very nourishing way to enjoy somebody else's trip. So, Veronica, young Veronica, you resurrect the habit of slideshows.
I have to bring it back. Okay.
Okay.
It's something I'll do. Noted.
Yes, right. Yes. No, you might have to go into your history books to find out how they work.
You know, one thing I was wondering about is we're talking so much about walking and walking and walking. What are the best kinds of shoes to wear?
Well, Jesus says sandals, but I suspect you need something more.
Oh, heavens.
Flip-flops?
Oh, I remember I did my research. And right? You want to go, so I'm a 7. Size 7, but because your foot swells up much, I had to buy an 8. And they're, I got them at, I think it was Sport Chalet at the time, these very intense hiking boots.
I remember, they're in business anymore, so
yeah,
that's
I think
okay.
So. That was it. I was like, at the time. And I remember the agent helping me, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to go on this hike where I'm going to like hike 20 miles a day. He looks at me like I'm crazy. And I wanted to go back to that store and show him I did it, but the store doesn't exist
anymore. Your certificate.
Exactly.
In there. You know, when my son went this last spring, he was amazed. He went to an athletic shop to get the shoes, and the guy knew exactly where he was going. Mm-hmm. He said, oh, I know. This is the kind of shoe that would work best for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David Owens, I love when you were sending me some information about this wonderful program called Along the Way. You included this beautiful narration. It's kind of like a long poem.
Yes.
And you wrote it because I saw your name at the bottom of it. And I thought, and here's how it starts. How many times will I pass this way? Is this the road that leads me home? Along the way, I feel alone. The uneven path stirs up my fear. I doubt, I tremble, I fear I should turn back. And there are many, many other verses to this. It's really beautiful. And it captures the mindset of the way.
Yes. I think it does. I will say that the last two verses kind of take you on a different path.
We'll read the last two verses for our listeners.
Oh,
they can't see
you.
It like
right.
I can.
Oh, the narrow way. Oh, the needle's eye. Neither a hindrance not. For at last, at long last, my goal is clear. Along the way, my thoughts are fixed. His call strengthens my gait. I know soon I will rest, and finally I will achieve my quest. Lord, be it a quest, let it not be myth. For even Odysseus, his Penelope to reclaim, years of wandering could not stifle epic wounds. Along the way a dreaded Cyclops, a vengeful Poseidon deter not my return. At journey's end, at faithful reward, come, Lord, my Lord. 'Tis not Greek Odyssey, 'tis not a fable's dream, to wrest from the demon, to wrench from the sorcerer's grasp, a mortal man powerless and damned. Along the way, not alone, climbs the faithful spirit. As hope takes flight, faith to caritas yields. Then my journey's done.
Wow.
Wonderful.
So he's a writer and a travel agent. You know, it kind of reminds me of an excerpt of Paul to the Corinthians when he says, I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers from the city, the wilderness, the sea. There's lots and lots of dangers along that way, but it makes the walk so much more exciting.
It does. It does.
Let's talk a little bit more about the mindset of a pilgrim, because we opened with that, and you both have. Now, you have not been on the Camino, actually, right?
I have not yet.
But
been
you
there.
Appreciate the disposition of a pilgrim.
I'm.
Can you
yes.
add to my list? You were here for some of my top five dispositions or qualities of an authentic pilgrim. Can you add to that or embellish any of those?
I think that, in fact, I said to you before we came on, you nailed it.
Definitely.
The flexibility, economy, humor, prayerful, open. Okay. How true. What a pilgrim is, every pilgrim is on a personal journey. And it's what you take with you and what you will let go along the way. And
but I forgot to mention shoes, though. I mean, a pilgrim does need the good shoes. Thank you for reminding us,
definitely.
Veronica. Would you add anything to the list?
I would be, as much as going to being open, it is also knowing that it's going to be hard. It's not easy. It's not a walk in the park. It's enduring something that at the end you feel like you've accomplished an amazing experience, and you really have.
You have.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, if people want to know more about your experience, David, the simulated Camino, can they go to your parish website?
Would they can, the best yes. SDCCatholic.com is
And there's some nice videos there.
Yes. They can go there and click on on the banner at the top, Camino, and it will take you to the Camino web page.
Okay.
And there's a lot of information. One thing we're doing as a result of all of the interest and the calls in, people who have walked the Camino, whether it be our mini or especially mm-hmm. those who have been to Spain, they want to be able to relive the experience mm-hmm. on a somewhat recurring basis.
It's what God planted in us, mm-hmm. this hunger for what is authentic and true
yes.
and real.
Yes.
And not just the trappings, you
yes.
know.
And we are going to, on a quarterly basis, have meetings with guest speakers, and I would love to have you as a
Veronica,
guest speaker.
I feel a booking.
If you happen to still be in the local area.
Well, and I also just want to say, shout out to the parishes. Find out who your patron saint is. Is it St. John Vianney? Is it St. Veronica? Is it St. Sebastian? Find out what makes them special. Now, Santiago de Compostela had a really unique way of leaving his legacy that is wonderful to perpetuate. But you can find out who your parish patron is and engage your parishioners in their history. David Owens, Veronica Paini, the Modern Pilgrim. I want to thank you guys so much for lighting up our studio today.
Thank
we
you
have
for
had
having us.
So
yes.
much fun, and I think you've inspired a lot of people to want to take a new
Get
look at the
there.
World as a pilgrim and
yes.
experience
to,
the world.
To lace up those Nikes and go.
Amen.
Yeah, just say go. Yeah, get on the starting line and get going. So anyway, Barbara McGuigan is up next with 2 hours of The Good Fight, as you know, but mostly we want you to check out our Facebook page, Call Me Catholic, and tune in again next week for more good news from our good faith. Until then, I'm Peggy Normandin, but you can call me Catholic.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.